Let's start off with a question. I don't expect an answer, so you can breathe again. What is your personal hell? What does it look like? How does it smell? What does it sound like? We're in Advent, and in Advent we're encouraged to dwell on somber themes: death and judgment, heaven and hell. I believe heaven and hell are deeply personal. There's one or other waiting for us. And speaking for myself, my hell is Bicester Village Shopping Outlet. And if I'm wicked, I will end up there for eternity. Whereas for my teenage granddaughter, Bicester Village Shopping Outlet is closer to heaven. The group of villages where I served as rector lay close to Bicester. In fact, Ambrosden, where I lived, was less than 3 miles away. And at peak times, you can imagine, January sales or the well-named Black Friday, the roads nearby are gridlocked. And getting in and out of the benefice can be tricky. If you're unlucky, if you make a bad judgment, you can find yourself in your car shunting along at 4 miles an hour. And above you, a speed restriction sign says, encouragingly, 40 miles an hour. That 40 miles an hour, my son says, is aspirational. 40 miles an hour, aspirational, but not achievable, not in those circumstances anyway. Perhaps much in life is aspirational rather than achievable. And perhaps we want to say the same of those verses we've just heard read from St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. You wouldn't want to argue with it. It's all good stuff. Rejoice. Pray. Give thanks. Hold on to what's good. Abstain from evil. All good stuff. But for us poor mortals stuck in the gridlock of our everyday lives, is it merely aspirational? And the question is, for all of us as Christians, I think, how do we turn aspiration into achievement? You know, quite often the charge of hypocrisy is leveled at Christians, and I don't think it's fair. I think it's just that we don't achieve what we aspire to. But of course we want to. Now, Ambrosden was also then home to Bicester Garrison, 23 pioneers, although no longer, because the regiment is disbanded and the site, Graven Hill, is being developed as the shiny new Bicester Garden City announced just recently by the government. But when I was there, 23 pioneers, despite deploying more than 600 soldiers, lacked a padre. So, of course, they asked me. And as well as rector, to a benefice of 12 villages and 9 churches, I also became an officiating chaplain to the forces. During that time, the invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan kicked off, so it was a challenging time. I was surprised to find myself as an army chaplain. In my youth, I was a peacenik, even marching one Easter from Aldermaston to London. Nevertheless, I came to have enormous respect for the soldiers of 23 pioneers. Respect for their training, their discipline, their trust, and their loyalty towards one another. all of which, I have to say, was constantly being drilled into them. Many of those squaddies were scarcely literate. Many came from impoverished backgrounds in the northeast of England or from Scotland. With the pioneers, they were given an education. There was an excellent school on the base. They were taught a trade. They were expected and encouraged to take initiatives and to take responsibility for a task and for one another. Good qualities were fostered in them and encouraged, and as a result, confidence and self-respect grew. Trust was absolutely paramount. As a soldier, if you cannot rely on your comrades, you are a dead man. And there was huge pride and loyalty towards the regiment. Far more, I have to say, than towards Queen and country. The regiment was family. The regiment was everything. As you can imagine, Remembrance Sunday was huge. A massive turnout with top brass and sniffer dogs and armed guards. And one year, racing back from an earlier service in another village, I was stopped at the end of the lane by a gun pointed at my chest. "If you don't let me in, you won't have a service," I said. They let me in. On Remembrance Sunday, my final blessing to those soldiers was always the same. And it was based on these verses from Thessalonians 5. "Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honour everyone. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit." So let's consider these commands, recognizing that we will not achieve the results we want quickly or indeed completely. These commands are aspirational, and they are important. If we practice them daily, hourly, minute by minute, they will begin to become instinctive. They'll be drilled into us, and achievement is more possible. So our challenge is, live in the presence of God. Rejoice. Not always easy. Keep looking up. Practice prayer. Give thanks in all circumstances, also not easy. And most important of all, do not quench the Spirit. We must at all times listen attentively to the urging, the prompting of that inner voice, which is the Holy Spirit, and to the Holy Spirit in other people. Very often, I hear something from one person and then the same thing from another one, and there is perhaps something going on in my heart, and I know that's God's Holy Spirit telling me something. And it is God's Holy Spirit working in us that makes all these commands possible. St. Paul says, in God's strength, we can do far more than anything we can ask or even imagine. Notice that we can do it. Now, the second thing I want to emphasize here is the importance of community. St. Paul was not writing to an individual. He was writing to a community, the little church at Thessalonica. Remember, those soldiers of 23 pioneers were in themselves individually weak. But together as a regiment, they were formidable. And here's where the community of faith comes in. As individuals, we're weak. And Jesus himself said, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. We aspire, but we don't achieve. But together as the community of faith, as the church, the body of Christ, we can be formidable. Carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, St. Paul said elsewhere. So in order to reach out to others, we need to value and support one another with compassion and with love in the power of the Spirit. And I have to admit that is something I need to remind myself of every day. And then last of all, in verse 20, St. Paul says, do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. So I'm going to give the prophets the last word. They were brave souls who spoke truth to power and suffered as a consequence. And the last of the prophets was, of course, John the Baptist. And we hear about John in our gospel reading. John was clear about his identity, his mission, and his own limitations. He was not the light, that is the Christ, but a witness to the light. John was a passionate preacher against injustice, immorality, and greed. Dangerous work. He upset powerful vested interests. The Pharisees were wary. Who exactly are you? They asked. John was clear. God had sent him. He knew that. But not to sound his own trumpet, but to call people to repentance and to herald the imminent arrival of the Messiah. None other than his own cousin and likely boyhood friend, Jesus Christ. So I'm going to finish with a prayer. Let's pray. God, for whom we watch and wait, you sent John the Baptist to prepare the way of your Son. Give us courage to speak the truth, to hunger for justice, and to suffer for the cause of right with Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.